If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to turn to a very familiar portion of Scripture, just one verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. If you would stay with me, we're going to read one verse, and we're going to continue our series about why. Why? Questions that we ask God. Romans 8 and 28 says this, and we know all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. That all things work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, thank You for the privilege and the opportunity to be here this morning, Lord God. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the worship service. Thank You, Lord God, that You are an encourager, Lord God, that You are an equipper, Lord God, that You're a Savior, Lord God, that You're a helper, Lord God, that You're sovereign, that You are exactly what we need in the moment, in the situation, in the circumstance that we need it, Lord God. We thank You for that, God. I pray in these next few moments, God, that You would just have Your way and that You would touch and encourage and strengthen and equip Your children in Your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We started out a couple of weeks ago talking about why don't we always feel the presence of God? Like, why is it sometimes like I feel like God is right here with me, but there are other times where I feel like I'm all alone? And we know that the old Christian cliche that we might often feel lonely, but we're never alone. And we know that's true. But we talked about some reasons of why don't we feel God's presence. And we talked about things like sin separates us from God. So if there's known sin in our lives that we haven't confessed, that affects and that hinders the presence of God from working in our lives. And we talked about distractions. And we know that we live in a very distracted world. And so many times that we want to be, and I shared a little bit on Friday night with the boys, that we want to be like a horse with blindness. We want to be just focused on God, and we want to be focused on what God has for us. But sometimes the garbage from the left and the weights from the right, they get into our peripheral vision. They might even get into our main line of vision, and they distract us. And then last week we talked about why doesn't God always answer my prayer? And once again, there's several reasons. And with all of these questions I've shared with you, that there's no definitive answer. There's no, like, this is the answer for every single person, because we know that we have to work out our own salvation. We have to work out our own relationship with God with fear and trembling. And even with the same person at different seasons in your life, at different situations in your life, there are different things that may be hindering you and distracting you. But last week, why doesn't God always answer my prayers? And we talked about sometimes it's because we just have the wrong motive, because we're selfish. Let's just call it what it is. Where sometimes we can be very, very, very selfish, and sometimes He doesn't answer our prayers because we have a broken relationship. And we talked about the cross being both vertical and horizontal. And so often we're so worried about the vertical relationship. We're so worried about the relationship with the Heavenly Father, and that is extremely important. But our horizontal relationships, our relationships with fellow men, are also very, very important. And if we have a broken relationship with fellow men, that there are times that can hinder our prayers being answered. And this morning I want to ask maybe one of the most popular questions of all time, one of the most asked questions of all time. We're going to talk about, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? You ever answer that? Ever ask that question? You don't have to raise your hand, but I dare say that either you or someone that you know and love in the very near future has asked that question or question very similar to that. If you have been in church for any length of time at all, that you can probably remember a few years ago, there was a practice that went around that would go something like this. The pastor would say, God is good all the time, and all the time. Right. You know, I grew up in a church where we said that every single Sunday morning. Bishop Cushman's father was my pastor, and he'd start the service every Sunday morning. God is good. And all the time. The only time that changed would be on Easter Sunday. Because on Easter Sunday, there's Christ is risen. There you go, Scott. You got it. You've been there, Scott. He is risen indeed. And so that's how you'd start your Easter Sunday. But the rest of the time, you would hear that you'd be reminded, that you'd be constantly reminded that God is good all the time, in every situation, in every circumstance, that God is good. But we still, even though we say that and we believe that, we still ask the question, well, if that's the case, then why do bad things happen to good people? Why did Sister So-and-so, a month after retiring from 50 years in the ministry, develop a brain tumor that grew down into, that was like an octopus that grew down into her brain, and 2 months later, 3 months after retiring, she went home to be with the Lord and didn't get to enjoy her quote-unquote retirement years. Why does that happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? And if you ask that question, you're not alone, because we can see some form of that in Scripture multiple times. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, Abraham is talking to God, and he's bargaining with God about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" He's saying, you know, if he started out with like 50, if there's 50 good people, will you spare the land? And God says, yeah, if it's 50. And he says, well, peradventure, there might only be 40, or there might only be 30, and I might get the numbers wrong, but you know the story there in Genesis chapter 18. And he says, well, you know, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Moses said in Numbers chapter 11, he asked God why he doesn't treat the people like they deserve. The people are moaning and groaning and mumbling and complaining and saying that food was, that at least back in Egypt, you know, there was bread to spare, and now we're out here and all we got is these dry flakes that they're getting old, Moses. I mean, I can't even store them up, Moses, because if I get more than I'm going to eat today, by tomorrow morning they're full of maggots. And why don't you just give them what they deserve? And so Moses was maybe asking a little bit of the opposite, but a very similar question, is that why do good things happen to bad people, right? We probably put it both ways before. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 1 asks this question. It says, why do the wicked prosper? The psalmist David asked in Psalms chapter 13, where are you, God? Why do I feel all alone? Why is this happening to me? And Psalm 73 and verse 12, it says, behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. And so the psalmist is saying, man, God, I'm serving you. My life stinks. And that low-down, no-good, dirty dog neighbor of mine, he cusses like a pirate. He drinks like a fish. He's got a different girlfriend every week. But he's got a brand-new truck and a brand-new camper and a brand-new duck boat. He's got it all. What's going on? Why is that happening? And maybe we'd say today, maybe we'd say things like, God, why are there kids starving? Why are so many dying in developing countries? Why is there no clean water in much of the world? Why is there this perceived injustice financially and socially and maybe even racially, Lord God? Why is all this going on? Whenever a natural disaster happens, a catastrophe happens, you have people who say, God, why does this happen? Is that the judgment of God? There must have been some Christians in New Orleans when Katrina hit, right? There must have been some Christians in Houston last year when Harvey hit, right? What's going on? Or a couple of years ago, what's going on? Or maybe we personalize it and we say, God, why did this bad thing happen to me or someone that I love? Why is my relationship dying? Why is there abuse? Why is there cancer, sickness, disease? Why did I lose my job? He says, as we think about that and as we read that, I believe that people, for the most part, they really want to give God the benefit of the doubt. right? And don't judge me this morning, but just bear with me until we get to the end of the message. I think they want to give God the benefit of the doubt. I think they say things like, God, I want to believe in you, and I want to believe that you're good, but they feel kind of like they're forced into this corner of saying, but I guess, God, I guess you can't be good, and I guess you can't be in control, because if you were good and if you were in control, then you'd do something about this. Because there are all these bad things that are happening to me and to the people that I love, and God, we love you, and we go to church, and we're this, and we're that, and I feel like, God, I'm being backed into a corner to either be able to say like that, either you're not real, or you're not in complete control. I feel like I'm at this point where I say, God, why is it that you just don't seem fair? Don't raise your hand, but you ever been there? Ever been at that place where you're like, man, and maybe that's a little too raw for you this morning, and I don't mean to be, but I think if we're really honest and we realize that we live in a real world that with real problems, and that we're real people, and even though that we're Christians, that we still have some doubts, and we still have some fears, and we still have some things that we got to work out, and we still got some rough edges that we got to sand off and get rid of. I think that we'd be honest and say, yeah, I've been there, Pastor. I've been to the point where I've said, it just doesn't seem like God's fair. I've been there. Jen and I have been there in marriage where before Jake was come on. We were married many years before Jake came along, and we tried for many years before Jake came along, and I can remember a relative who did not love God, and I'm not judging, I'm just telling you the truth. They had nothing good to say about God. And it seemed like they were popping out kids every 9 months. I'm just being honest this morning, okay? It just seemed like they got another one? And I can remember laying in bed one night with Jen just almost like mad at God. Like, and I'm not saying this was a good time in my life. I'm not saying, I'm just being real this morning. And I can be like, I'm not going to say their name, but why does so-and-so get to have a bunch of kids and we can't? Just doesn't seem fair, God. And this morning, I want to talk to you for a few moments. And as always, I don't have a definitive answer. You've got to work that out yourself. I can't tell you A plus B equals C every single time, because sometimes you got to put a D or an E in there. Sometimes you got to take an A and a B out. Why? What are some reasons that bad things happen? And we could go to the church cliches, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there this morning, but we could go to the church cliches, because we've heard people say, well, it's because there was sin in your life, Art. Because you were in a bad place, and there was sin in your life, and that's why. Or maybe it was because you weren't praying enough, Art. You weren't praying enough, Art. You weren't living right, Art. You know, you were only praying like 10 minutes a day or whatever it is, and you weren't reading your Bible enough, Art. You're only reading through the Bible once a year back then, and that's just not enough. I like this one. Well, Art, you know it rains on the just and the unjust, right? You know it rains, right? And I just want to say that particular portion of Scripture drives me crazy, because that's completely taken out of context when they say it like that. Because Matthew chapter 5, it says this. It says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. So when he was talking about it rains on the just and the unjust, he's saying, you know what? We're supposed to love everybody. That if you only if I only love Brad because Brad and I get along, but I don't love Scott because sometimes Scott and I don't get along, what good is that? He goes on to say, even the tax, what's he saying? He says, even the government does that. I mean, the Democrats love the Democrats, and the Republicans love the Republicans, and the independents love the independents. Even our government can do that. Even our government can love those who get along with us. But here's the real truth. When somebody disagrees with you, when somebody has a different point of view, or somebody has a different life, oh, come on, I'm going to preach now. Somebody has a different lifestyle than you, can you still love them? Can you still love them? I'm not saying you have to approve of what they're doing. That's not what I'm saying. But can you still love them? Can you get past your own feelings and your own preconceived notions and your own preconceived ideas of what somebody has to do to be worthy of? Oh, come on. What somebody has to do to be worthy of love? Can you get past that? It's easy to love people that can do things for you. It might be a little bit harder to love people that need things from you. Let's move on before we get in trouble. All right? Let's just move on before we get in trouble. So biblical reasons of why bad things happen. Biblical reason number one. Maybe simply we're a victim of a broken world. Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. God created the world. And everything in it. In fact, he says it is good. And he rested on the seventh day. But then sin entered the world. And because sin entered the world, pain and punishment entered the world. Moms, you didn't do anything to deserve, and I'm not saying I understand it. I'm not that dumb. I had somebody tell me one time that a gallstone was like giving birth to a child, and I said, don't you ever say that to your wife, because I'll be doing your funeral if you say that to them. There's just certain things, guys, that we don't understand, okay? And it's okay. And I don't even want to understand it better by and by that right there. It's okay. I'll just let that one slide right on by. Right? But moms, you didn't do anything wrong to deserve the pain of childbirth. It's a consequence of a broken world. Sometimes, how many of you know here in Maine, that if you want to plant a garden, I feel like sometimes that the few times I've tried to garden, that I do more rock picking than I do fruit picking. Right? I mean, we just live in a rocky climate and rocky land, or a rocky topsoil, and that's because of a broken world, because the land was cursed after sin entered the world. It said that it's going to take work and sweat to get stuff from land. Before that, man, it was just there. Or how about what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, said this: these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace, but in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I'll tell you right now that it blows my mind when I watched the pain and heard the pain on Jen's face as she was giving birth to Jake, and I knew what that was. But like 5 minutes later, when she's holding Jake in her arms, it's like that's all gone. Right? It's all gone. Be of good cheer. There's going to be some tribulation. There's going to be some heartache. There's going to be some hurt in this world. It's because we live in a broken world. We live in a sin-filled world. But be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. So maybe it's simply because we live in a broken world. Why do bad things happen? Sometimes we are victims of our own poor choices. We don't want to stay there too long, but let me just touch upon that for a moment. That you know, there are direct consequences to our behavior. There are direct consequences to our choices. On Wednesday nights with youth group, we're working through a series about choices that we're gonna. The other night we talked about I'm gonna choose the pain of discipline over the pain of regret. And but we are a sum total of all of the choices that we have made, and we like. we like the good choices and we celebrate the good choices because when we make good choices, we have blessings. You know, good choices find their way to Facebook. Right? Bad choices only find their way to Facebook through in-laws. Some of you will figure that out in just a few moments, all right? But we celebrate when we make a good choice. If you're a student and you decided to study for a test and you get the test back and you get an A, you celebrate that. You show that to mom and dad. But if you make the choice not to study and that test comes back and instead of an A, it's got a flag on it, right? That one makes its way into the trash can before mom and dad get home from work, right? But either way, we make choices, and when we make good choices, we get blessings. But when we make poor choices or bad choices, we get consequences, we get punishment, we get pain, you know. And here's the truth. If a murderer comes to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior after committing a murder, praise God, he's going to heaven, but he's still gotta pay a consequence for his choice. Right? I know you don't like that, but that's okay. Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that will he also reap. For if he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We reap what we sow. And I'm not saying that every problem in your life is because of you, because we know that sometimes other people make poor choices and they affect us. But I just want you to examine, and instead of blaming God and saying, God, where are you? Why are bad things happening to me? Maybe you want to take an examination of, I made some poor choices because I have a $40,000 car and a $200,000 mortgage and a $28,000 job. Something doesn't add up there. Something just doesn't add up there, and you can blame God because you can't make your car payment. But I would say that God probably tried to tell you before you bought the car that it was a bad idea, and you didn't listen to him. That's good. That's good teaching, Pastor. Whether they want to hear it or not, that you know, so often. I mean, And I'm not pointing the finger because I'm guilty of it too. I'll look at something and it doesn't go right, and I'll be like, God, why is that? What happened there? And it'd be like, well, Art, if you'd have maybe consulted me first, right? If you'd have maybe consulted me first, it's really not my fault, Art, that you opened. This is where I really get in trouble. I opened my mouth, and my grandfather used to call it hoof and mouth disease. I opened my mouth and swallow my foot. Right? Because I make the choice to speak before I've consulted God or Jen, and it's not always in that order, right? But I should consult both of them sometimes before I speak. That was okay to laugh, okay? It really was, because she loves me. Because she loves me, and almost 24 years later, she's still putting up with me. So, we've done all right. I've done all right, right? I know I outkicked my coverage. I understand that. I married up. I did all of those cliches, and I thank God for it. So sometimes that bad happens because we brought it on ourselves with poor choices. I want to give you a new category that maybe we don't think about very often. But as I was studying this week and was reminded of this story, it just kind of it blew my mind. Maybe God wants to do something big for you. Maybe God wants to do something huge for you. How about in John chapter 9, there's a man born blind. And the religious leaders are asking, why is this man born blind? Is it because he sinned? Is it because his fathers sinned? Why was he born blind? And Jesus looked at them and said, It's not because he sinned, and it's not because his father's sinned, but it's so that the Father's glory can be revealed. It's because God wanted to teach a lesson, that God wanted to prove a point, for lack of a better term, that God wanted to do something huge for this man, and he wanted everyone to understand. It says in verse 3, it says, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So that the works of, and so sometimes that the scripture that we read, it says all things work together for good. It doesn't say, it's a very misquoted scripture, because it says everything's going to be good. No, it doesn't say that everything's going to be good. What it says is all things are going to work together for good. And so sometimes if you're looking at it in the, because here's the problem. We look at it in the, oh, come on now, I'm getting ready. We look at it in the here and now, but you got to understand that God is not only in the here and now, that God is in the forever. And so God is looking at it through the eyes of eternity. And so we look at it, we say, well, that really stinks right here and now. That's really bad right now. But what's really happened is that there's a bigger plan at work in our lives, because God is working all things together for our good. And sometimes, at least for me, sometimes God has to cut me down to build me up. Sometimes God has to get rid of some Art Fair brother. Right? Sometimes God has to get rid of, and you can just feel, and you can go ahead and laugh and say, that's right, Pastor. He's got to get rid of some of you too. He's got to get rid of some of you too, because God wants his work to be revealed in you. And so we're looking at it in this snapshot of time right now. But God doesn't just see this snapshot of time, but he sees 20 years from now and 40 years from now and eternity from now. And God sees it all. And so as I read that portion of scripture this week, mind was blown, because there's this new category. I always want to have a reason. I always want to have a reason. And sometimes Jen's like, all right, stop blaming people. And I don't mean to blame, but I always, it's just the way I'm wired. It's the way I think. I want to have a reason. I want to be able to explain it. It's that math mind that if I do this and I do this, then I get this, and it works every time. And what God is saying to me, and what God is saying to all of us, is that it's not an equation. It's not, because an equation, the left and the right are equal. They're balanced. They're on a scale. But it's not an equation. It's an inequality, because God is greater and God is bigger and God is better. And so he always tips the scale. He always tips the scale. And so my mind was blown, because it's like this whole new category was created, that it's not anybody's fault. Nobody did anything wrong. Nobody did anything right. It's just the way that God planned it, so that his power could be revealed. And then the fourth one. What's the fourth reason of why possibly bad things happen? And the third and the fourth one kind of go together, but they are a little bit different to me anyways, and I hope they will be to you. It's because maybe there's purpose in your pain. Maybe there's purpose in your pain. And I spent a long time, not too long ago, preaching about the life of Joseph, and so I don't want to rehash all of that, but I do want you to remember that in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, that he's standing before his brothers, that he being Joseph, he's standing before his brothers. Remember, his brothers had beaten him up and had thrown him into a pit, and they wanted to kill him, but instead they sold him to some Ishmaelites. They sold him to some traveling gypsies, and the traveling gypsies sold him to Potiphar, and then he's in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife lies about him, and he goes to prison. He's in prison, and the baker and the butler come, and they forget about him, and all of this happened, and it hurt, because he'd been abandoned by his family. He'd been forgotten about, and he'd been lied about, and all of that had happened, and all of that had gone on, and it really looked like a lot of bad had happened to Joseph. It really looked like if you know, and I mean no disrespect, but if we think about it, it really looked like Joseph's life, he'd been dealt a bad hand. Like he'd been dealt just like the worst hand possible. And yet, at the end of his life, he said this. He said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about this day to save many people alive. What was Joseph saying? He's saying, you know what? There was purpose in my pain. There was purpose in my hurt. There was purpose in all of that garbage that I've faced. Kaylin, if you'd come back. But why are bad things happening to me? I gave you four biblical reasons. We're a victim of a broken world, that we've made some poor choices, that God wants to do something huge for us, and that there's purpose in our pain, that God wants to do something huge through us. And wherever you are, there are some things that we can be assured of. James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce patience. What was he saying? He says, count it all joy when stuff comes. I've shared many times. I don't know that I've ever gotten to the point where I can count it joy that bad things happen. I'm working towards it. I'm pressing towards it, right? Young men and men, we're pressed. That's a goal. That's something that we're pressing for. We talked about on Friday night. We're pressing for it. But we've all been through things that we didn't like, that we didn't understand, and that we thought were unfair. But I know in my life, as I think about that story I told you about of laying in the bed and almost mad at God. I think about that story and I wouldn't have chosen it. And I wouldn't necessarily want to go through it again. But I wouldn't change it either. Because if I change it, then I don't have Jake and Josh and Andrew. Because if I change it, it'd be a different man standing up here this morning. I wouldn't want to go through any of it again. I wouldn't want to go through the heartache, and I wouldn't want to have to go through the hurt, and I wouldn't have to go through the frustration, and I wouldn't have to want to go through it again. But I also know that I wouldn't change it, because it made me a better person. It made me a different person. It made me a stronger person. It brought me closer to God. It brought me nearer to God than I'd ever been. It took me to another level in my relationship with God, where he just reminded me once again, Art, it's not in your time and it's in my time. And Art, I've got this. That's what he says. Art, I got this. It's not yours, Art. I got this. I got this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. The more pain that we endure, the more our faith is built. And when we look back at those little snapshots of our life that seem unfair, that seem hurtful, that seem painful, it seems that maybe that God wasn't good all the time. We look back at those snapshots and we see, you know what? This snapshot taken out of context would say that. And this snapshot taken out of context would say that, and this snapshot taken out of context would say that. But when you step back and you look at the whole motion picture, when you look at the whole movie, what you see is that because of that, I was taught to rely on God more. And because of that, I was taught to love my wife more. And because of that, I was taught to cherish my children more. And because of that, I don't know a teenager alive that wants to get up at 5 a.m. I don't know one. But because the chores came every morning, it seemed really unfair at the time that my friends were sleeping in till 10 and I was shoveling chicken manure, picking up the ones that had died the night before, and cleaning out and shoveling out pig stalls and cow stalls and horse stalls and all of those things. And it seemed really unfair that I had to work really hard and my friends They didn't seem to have to work as hard, and you could complain about, but I wouldn't change it. In fact, I'd say I believe that every teenager ought to spend a summer on a farm. I know that none of the teens like me right now, but I believe it, that every teenager ought to spend a summer on a farm and learn how to work, because it's because of that all of that I am who I am today. You see, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. But here's the truth. We ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? And I want you to think about this. Perhaps it's a flawed question. Perhaps this problem with our thinking when we ask that question. And why do I say that? I say that because I'm not a good person. And technically, you're not a good person either. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 3 and 12 says, there is none good, no, not one. Luke chapter 18, verse 18 says, now a certain ruler asked him being Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. You ask my boys, like, I'll say, how you doing? I'm good. I say, oh, come on now, let's talk about this. You're not good. Because none of us are good. Given to our own nature, we are self-centered and selfish. Given to our own nature, we will sin. Given to our own nature, we deserve to die. Given to our own nature, we deserve to go to hell. I know that's hard. I know it's hard, but just bear with me. That's what we deserve. That's who we are. And so why do bad things happen to good people? Bad things only happen to one good person ever. And they hung him on a cross. I'm not a good person by myself. But when I add Jesus, all of the bad is taken care of. I didn't say it goes away. It's taken care of. It's taken care of. And so this morning, it's about our perspective. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. But when we think about why do bad things happen to good people, we're technically asking a flawed question. Because we're not good. Welcome to Royal Ridge Church of God, where we make you feel really good about yourself. We're not good. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's what I am. I'm a wretch. You fill in the blank for yourself. I'm not good. You figure out for yourself. Maybe you don't agree with me and you live your life the way you want to. But I'm telling you right now, I'm just going on what the Word of God says. There is none good, no, not one. Jesus Himself said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. When we realize the truth, our perspective is changed. And we begin to understand what Romans 8 and 28 really means. That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I'm not saying that bad things don't happen, because bad things do happen to us. I just want you to think about the last half. Am I really a good person? You answer that for yourself. Would you bow your heads this morning? I wonder this morning if there'd be one here. Let's start with the question. Is there one here that say, Pastor, I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is forgiveness of sin. Not only forgiveness of sin, but removal of the consequences from our lives. Is there one here saying, that's me, Pastor. I've never accepted it, but this morning, I want to accept it.